At the time that the Apostle Peter wrote his letter to Christians who were scattered throughout Asia Minor, believers were living in very perilous times. Their world was under the control of Rome, and they found themselves in an increasingly difficult predicament, trying to live as Christians in a pagan and very non-Christian world became increasingly perilous. The Roman government was becoming more and more corrupt and self-indulgent, hedonistic. The emperor at that time was Nero, one of the most notorious rulers of all time. He was a pleasure-seeking, self-indulgent, and debauched individual who had no use for Christians or Christianity. He did not only want to kill Christians, he wanted to make them suffer before killing them. He was known for finding new ways to torture and abuse Christians. He made a whole sport and entertainment industry out of torturing and killing Christians. Now, we may not live in that kind of desperate situation, and yet the social and cultural conditions in our nation and in our world in some ways are very similar. Our culture is becoming more and more like Peter's day, with a smorgasbord of religions and belief systems and an ever-increasing animosity toward Christianity and toward biblical beliefs. And we've heard that already this morning. And the problem that they struggled with, and what we may often struggle with, is the question of how, as Christians, how do we live our lives? How do we live with those in authority over us when they don't share our values and our beliefs? I think Peter has some important instructions for us regarding our response to authority. In our text today, he offers some valuable advice in a couple of different areas. First, he deals with the political and legal realm, and then he broaches the subject of servants and how they ought to conduct themselves in the workplace, even when they have unreasonable and difficult masters or employers. And he ends the passage with some critical thinking regarding our attitude towards suffering, and he leaves us with the example of Jesus himself as a guide to our approach to affliction. Now, I've just kind of outlined for you that whole passage that Neil read for us a moment ago, but I need to say right up front, we're not going to cover all that today. When I started working on this message, that was my intent, to do that whole passage, and I soon realized we're not going to get through it. We're only actually covering verses 13 to 17 today. So come back next week for the rest of it. But we need to look at what Peter says about submission to political and legal authorities. In the midst of oppressive and antagonistic, tyrannical domination by a pagan and vicious leader, Peter tells the believers of his day, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. Be subject. The New International Version and the New King James Version say, submit yourselves. Be subject to every human institution, every authority that's been put in place for people. Well, that kind of goes against the very grain of human nature. Very few of us like to be told what to do. That's just, I think, the way it is. Some people get along with it good, but that was terrible grammar. But anyway, get along with it, okay, whatever. But anyway, I think most of us would prefer to say, like the old Frank Sinatra song, I did it my way. That's kind of the way we are. Nobody's going to tell me what to do, and most of all, the government. And this becomes even more difficult when you have authorities who have no respect for the principles that God has laid out for good and right conduct. And we look at the laws and the ordinances that are being forced upon us, that are being passed even in our society today. We see things that are being put through the laws that are being enforced and so on. And we feel that we're being overrun by evil. But I'm not sure that it is any worse today than it was in Peter's day. We think things are so bad today. But Roman society, in the days when Peter was writing, was a mess. It was a mess of wicked, corrupt, and depraved behavior. Sexual perversion of every kind, homosexuality, bestiality, all of these things were prevalent, were rampant in Roman society. Every kind of degenerate self-indulgence was not only condoned, but endorsed. And another factor in all of this was the Romans' attitude toward Christianity and anything related to it. You see, Rome had become increasingly displeased with the Jews and with Judaism. And the Jews were persistently rebelling and resisting Roman control. In fact, there were groups of Jews like the Zealots who fought against Rome, even to the point of death, to try to drive out the Romans and the Roman occupation. And since Rome viewed Judaism and Christianity as very closely related, it didn't take much. It wasn't much of a stretch for them to ostracize and to hate the Christians and to accuse the Christians of opposing Rome. Church history indicates that that is exactly what happened. Rome began to accuse the church of crimes against the state. And so Peter was concerned that the church, the believers, conduct themselves in a manner that would show that any charges against them were false. And so he says, be subject, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Everything, every authority that's been placed, be subject to them. Don't fight against the authorities. Now, obviously, there's circumstances where we cannot go along, and we'll mention that again later on. But he says, be subject, whether it be to the emperor or the king, depending on your translation, the one in charge as supreme, or to governors, to those who are sent to oversee the law, the legal system, the police forces, the judicial system. He says, submit, be subject. In verse 15, he gives us the rationale for this instruction. The reason for this kind of subjection or submission is simple. It is God's will. Verse 15 says, for this is the will of God. What is? Well, he goes on to say, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. When they accuse you falsely, do what's right, so that you silence the ignorance of foolish people. And how do you do that? By doing good, by doing what's right. When God calls us to do something, we need to do it. We need to do what's right at all times so that people cannot falsely accuse us. Quite a number of years ago, there was a man, he's long since passed away now, by the name of Jack Eckerd. He was the founder of a huge chain of drugstores in the U.S., Eckerd Drugstores. And later in his life, he committed his life to Christ. He became a Christian. And sometime afterwards, he was walking through one of his stores and he noticed the magazine racks and the glossy magazines, the adult magazines, Penthouse and Playboy, and, you know, there on the racks. Now, Eckert at this point was retired from active management, but he called the president of the company and he demanded that those magazines be removed from the shelves. And the president reminded him that those magazines bring in millions of dollars every year. And he said, "I don't care." Eckert himself was the largest stockholder in the company, and so obviously he stood to lose a lot of money by such a decision, but he remained firm in his objection. And he prevailed. Those magazines were removed from all 1,700 of his drugstores. When he was asked what motivated him to take this action, he replied, "God wouldn't let me off the hook. It was right. I had to do it." You know, there's an old country song. It was sung by Tanya Tucker that says, "It's a little too late to do the right thing now." As Christians, it's never too late to do the right thing, to do what's right. That's what Peter says, do what's right, so that by doing good, you put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. And by doing good, it means living in submission to every authority that is placed over us, because when we do so, we silence the critics. Now, verse 16 sounds like a contradiction to verse 13. Starts out by saying, live as people who are free. Verse 13 said, submit yourselves, be subject to. Now he says, live as people who are free. And even within that verse, verse 16, there seems to be a contradiction. He says, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Live as people who are free, but live as servants of God. And in fact, for those of you who were here last week, you remember we talked about redemption and being redeemed out of the slave market of sin, and how the New Testament writers consistently identify themselves as servants or bondservants. Literally, the word is slaves of Jesus Christ. That's the word that's here. Live as slaves of God is the word doulos in the Greek, which was a slave. But I think that what Peter wants us to see here is the true meaning of freedom. Live as people who are free by living as slaves of God. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, Paul says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." You see, true freedom comes through serving God and righteousness and serving others. There's a man, a Christian man by the name of Philip Hook. Many years ago, before the Berlin Wall came down, he was traveling in Eastern Europe. And he shares a little story. He met some followers of Christ over there in somewhere in Eastern Europe. And he made these observations. He says, "I sat with some Eastern European young people and was thinking how fortunate I was to be an American and free. As I watched them and learned from them, I realized that they were more free than I. I was seeing freedom as being free to travel, to own, to say, while they had given up the hopes that the world offers materially and had become free to be God's people, I discovered that in reality, they were far freer than I." You see, the most important freedom is spiritual, not political. It is freedom from obsession with sensual pleasures. It's freedom to know Jesus Christ. It's freedom to love God and to love others in the strength of His Spirit. Last week, as I've already said, we spoke about the subject of slavery. and redemption. And when God redeems us by the blood of Jesus Christ, he buys us out of the slave market of sin. He sets us free from slavery to sin and to Satan. We become slaves of God and of righteousness. And that sounds like a contradiction, but the greatest freedom is found in serving God with a whole heart. And that's what Peter is calling us to here, I believe. Living as slaves, as bondservants of God. He wants us to live in subjection to the government, because by doing so, we're serving God. And it's hard to picture in some ways, and yet this whole idea of freedom and submission go together. Verse 17 summarizes this call to subjection to authority with four very concise commands. In the English Standard Version that I'm reading from, it says, "Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor." The New International Version said, "Show proper respect to everyone, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, and honor the king." A couple of notes regarding the translation of that verse, because the NIV uses two different terms, "show proper respect to everyone," and at the end it says, "honor the king." But in the original language, it's exactly the same word. It's honor everyone, honor the king. The same word, the same idea, but it means to show respect, to respect them and hold them up with honor. But I want you to also notice the arrangement of these instructions. There's kind of two sets of two. Begins by saying, honor all, love the brotherhood of believers, fellow believers. The word honor, some translations say honor all people, honor all men. Literally, it just says honor all and love the brothers, the brotherhood. And one writer put it this way in the sort of defining or explaining this. He says, submission has a universal dimension which includes all of mankind without exception. All men are to be honored and respected. The brotherhood of believers is to be loved. There is a greater degree of intimacy and contact and relationship between one believer and another saint and other saints. Thus, in Scripture, the believer has a higher level of obligation to believers than to unbelievers. We honor everyone, we respect everyone, but there is a special love and relationship with fellow believers. Galatians 6, verse 10. Paul said, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." And so he says, honor everyone, hold them all up in respect, but there's a special relationship with believers. Love the brotherhood. Then the second pair of instructions say, fear God, and honor the king, the emperor. The king is to receive honor as the ultimate human authority over men. He is to be honored as a man. The head man, we might say, the one at the top, the one who's in charge. But there is a limit to the honor that he receives. He is only to be honored as a man, never to be worshipped as a god. There's an interesting incident in the scriptures where King Herod, one of the Herods, was worshipped as a god. People fell down and worshipped him, and he accepted that worship, and God struck him. And he died a horrible death. I'm not going to go into the details. You can read it, look it up. But the emperor, the king, is to be honored as a man. But he's only a man, never to be worshipped as God. And you see, that's where the conflict sometimes comes in, and that's where the conflict came in for people of Peter's day, because there were Roman emperors, Caesars, who demanded that the people worship them. Caesar was God to them. And you had to bow down and worship. Kind of reminds me of Daniel and his three friends and Nebuchadnezzar who built the great image and said, you will bow down and worship or you'll go into the furnace. But Peter distinguishes between the honor that the king is to be given and the fear that God alone is to receive from the saints. You fear God. And we've talked in the past about the fear of God. Back in chapter 1 and verse 17. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. And we discussed it then. I'm not going to go into it in detail again now. But we fear God and honor the king. The people of Peter's day faced many issues, great opposition, issues related to the ruling authorities and how they would respond to them. They were being forced to bow down to the emperor. They were being forced to do things. And the question was, how do you respond? How do you deal with those things? How do you live your lives? And Peter says, do what's right in order to silence the critics. Many of the same dangers, I believe, that present themselves at Peter's writing exist today in a little different form. But increasingly, Christians are being confronted and even looked upon with suspicion, just as the Roman government was suspicious of the believers, of the Christians, and the Jews, and these religious people. They're seen as being in opposition to civil authority. And that was partly due, and it is even today, it's partly due to some Christians who are becoming increasingly militant and often are willing to break the laws in order to make their point. And I think Peter's saying that's not right. But at the same time, we face increasing pressure to bend and submit to laws and requirements that violate the laws and standards that God has set out in His Word. And when believers stand against those unrighteous expectations and beliefs, they are vilified and accused as lawbreakers. When biblical truth and those who believe it are mocked and ridiculed by those in government and in authority, as happened this week, our governor general mocked people who believe in the biblical creation account. I say that carefully because I believe we need to be in submission, but at the same time, when those kind of things happen, we realize that we're living in a world that is very foreign to the truth by which we function and operate. And we see just how vitally important it is to walk the fine line when it comes to our relationship to civil government. We are called upon to submit to every authority that is placed over us. And we have no excuse to break the laws of our land. Even though we operate by higher principles, we are citizens of heaven. We live as foreigners and aliens on the earth, but yet we are obligated to obey the laws of our land. And Peter makes it clear that we have the same obligation to obey our government as unbelievers have, living in this nation. But we have an even higher obligation, I think, than unbelievers. And that's because we do it for the Lord's sake. Did you notice that? I kind of skipped over that phrase in verse 13, be subject or submit yourselves for the Lord's sake, because of God, to every authority. But because we're doing it for the Lord, there also may come a time, just as there was for Christians of Peter's day, when we have to stand against the laws of the land for the sake of the truth of God's word. And so with all of that said, I want to close with two questions. The first is, how submissive are we to the government authorities? Sometimes we act as though the law has no right to tell me how to live my life. But we're called upon to submit to the to human institutions. But the second question is, given certain circumstances, how willing are we, if necessary, to stand against them for the sake of the truth? This isn't an easy subject to deal with. Because we live in an increasingly difficult world. But in as much as it is possible, we are called to live in submission, being subject to the authorities that are placed over us. You look very somber this morning. But it's a fine line to walk. Let's pray. Father, give us wisdom. Wisdom to know when we have to oppose what we are told by those in authority over us. But Lord, in as much as it is possible, may we live our lives in subjection to the civil authorities, obeying the laws of our land, that no one would have reason to accuse us of being lawbreakers. Lord, give us wisdom in our daily walk. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.